So we'll see if I can do this without coughing my guts out. So what I'd like to do, that analogy may or may not have worked, but what I would like to do at this point, though, is move forward and encourage those of you who are doing the forgiveness ritual for 2 weeks to keep going. Because it's working. It's, you know, I'm asking you to trust a process you've never used before, but sometimes it literally is just about try it, see what happens. And so this week we've got our one-on-ones coming up. I do appreciate everybody being so gracious and kind about rescheduling last week. I'm not sure what's going on. I did get a COVID test. It's not COVID, but there's something going on for sure. So what I would like to get back to now is these meditations on stress and this just kind of this little segment we have on stress. And once again, just in my opinion, there is a big difference between stress and anxiety. Are they related? Absolutely. Anxiety makes stress way, way worse, but there is a definite difference. Anxiety is an existential threat. It's a fear. It's a deep, deep fear that your existence is somehow threatened. Okay? At different levels. But we covered that so incredibly in the RIPA class. If you guys had seen Natalie yesterday, we had my sister-in-law's 60th birthday here. And she came. And I can't even begin to describe to you what is going on in her world. They've been in the ER or the emergency room for each of the kids. Sean's mom's had a stroke. Their house was being recited. Turned out there was no plywood, no wrapping. No, I mean, it was just, it's been unbelievable. And kids getting home from daycare because somebody had COVID or tested. And so the kids they can't be at daycare while she's trying to work. And she came down. She was great this morning. She Marco'd me and she said, "Mom, I can't believe I even with everything going on, I felt like I was me again. I was happy to be there. She wasn't stressed. She wasn't anxious. Now, has there been stress? Yes. You got one kid at home and another one going into the ER, and then you got to get the other one in to the ER for an X-ray. It's like there's just been stuff one after another. But she wasn't anxious and she could show up. She even made a cake, little bugger, you know, and she was happy and she can feel the difference in her. Her anxiety is gone. So her anxiety is gone. Will it come back? Probably at some point, right? It'll resurface and she'll use her tools to come back and rebalance. But stress is a whole nother thing. Stress, so they're related, but stress is what everybody deals with. Not everybody has anxiety underneath the stress. And stress is what brings a lot of us to meditation. So maybe what we can do is break you into little groups. And depending on which meditation you've been working on, hopefully everybody's watched the whole series by now. But it's like, what is the stress in your world? How do you deal with stress? what are the tools that you've, within that little unit we did, that help you? What is it? In other words, you have to be able to deal with your own stress before you can help somebody else meditate to get rid of theirs, right? Otherwise, you're sitting there like this, trying to get people, you know, it's not going to work. So what do you say if we break into a couple groups? And is that clear enough? Is that vague and clear, Ramon?
You define stress, though. Like, is there? Can you define stress for? I know you said anxiety. I know what anxiety is, but what's stress? Is that an external stimulant, or is it?
I think stress is an external. Obviously, it triggers internal stuff, right? Where we have to take a deep breath and okay, I don't have any control over this. Let me recognize that. Let me show up for what is really going on, not what my fears are or my expectations are. But stress is when there's pressure coming on you. And in our world right now, that stress, there's often pressures from many different directions that are coming on us. It's like you've got something to do and somebody else adds another deadline to things you already have to do. Stress, what's most important, does everybody, you know, maybe let's start with this when you get to go, what are your physical, how do you know you're stressed? How do you know you're stressed? Because ultimately, that's what we want to know. We want you to be able to know, what are the signs in my body when I am feeling stressed? Because I think as we said in there, your body knows before your mind knows that you're stressed. Your breathing's going to get faster. Your blood pressure's going to go up. You're going to get tight. You're going to get snappy. Something's going to happen, right? So to me, stressed is too much pressure, too many things, too many expectations, too many of those things. Trying to do, I guess simply it's pressure is how I would put it. It's pressure. And so does that answer it, Ramon?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. So let's see how many of you are here today. Everybody's here. So three. Okay. So we'll do three rooms. These rooms always put you guys with the same people. This is really quite, all right. I'm going to try and mix this up a little bit. Let me see if I can do that. For some reason, they just always want to put Kelsey and Ramon together. It's like a thing, you know? And so let's try this. Let's see if I can. All right. And they always like to put Laura and Steve together for reasons I don't understand. So let's do. Okay. Oh, this is hurting my brain, guys. Sorry, I should have done this on the break. I think I'm. I'm trying too hard. Karen, just put one more person in this group and let it be. There we go. Okay. I think I've separated you from the people you're almost always with, but I may not have. All right. So how about, are we clear what we're talking about? You're going to, okay, no. So I'm not either now because I forgot. First of all, what are your symptoms of stress? How do you know you're stressed? What is happens in your body or your thinking or your reactivity? What are your symptoms of stress? Okay. And you don't, your definition of stress does not have to match mine. I'm not saying I'm the expert on the definition. I just know when I'm stressed, right? But then within the context of the stuff we've gone over, the meditations, the concepts, what in there is of, has been of value to you? And what have you found over time that helps you to release the stress, to not succumb to the stress and to maybe overcome the stress, move through the stress without being stressed? In other words, let's find out what your experience is first. Is that better, Kelsey? Okay. All right, guys. There we go. So let's give you, how about we'll give you 15 minutes? Does that sound too long? 10 minutes? Okay. All right, everybody. So, what?
I already know what you're thinking.
What was this? What was that? I missed it. Okay. So, at any rate, so I think what I would like to do right now is let you have those conversations you just had. And what was important to me was that is, did everybody have some sense of how their body lets them know that they're stressed? Okay, I'm not seeing nods all around. So.
Sorry, I missed the question.
No, that's okay, Brenda. Well, you're getting a pass for the day. Does everybody, or just nod, do you have some way of recognizing when your body is telling you when there's stress? Okay. So Kathleen, so Laura, just sort of so-so still? Okay. So Laura, what are your indicators that you're feeling stressed? Is it your, huh?
The snappiness.
That's what I was going to say. The reactivity.
Yeah. I can tell after everything sort of passed, my jaw's really tight, but like in the moment, I haven't figured it out.
Well, but you know, the reactivity. Right. Mm-hmm. And it may be that for you good solid Capricorn, that the reactivity is your way in. Right. So when I say, what is your body telling you? You know, you hear that, what is that sensation that's got me now snapping at people? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Because we learn what it is, and what's going to happen is over time, especially for those of you who have a lot of anxiety, where it's really intermeshed right now, it's hard to pull them apart. You know, what's anxiety? What's stress? Is, and there is a lot, right? The anxiety's inside you. The stress is inside you. That's all. So yes, there's a lot to tease apart here. But the goal is the same as we did when we're learning about anxiety, is for you to more earlier, that's the wrong English, but sooner, you're going to know sooner and sooner in the process, oh, there's that sensation. I don't know I'm stressed. I know the feeling in my body, at which point I go, oh, I'm stressed. What's going on? What is it? And so it's not that we're not going to be stressed. There's a lot of stress in life. There's a lot of times where you have four things that have to happen in the same 5 minutes, and each one of them takes 20, right? I mean, that's part of being here on the planet. Coping with stress is understanding how to keep your calm, your center, and one of the first steps in nipping it, like once it's happened, you've got tools to deal with. Okay, what's my agenda? What am I doing? Feeling it sooner and sooner, getting more and more aware, what I would call nipping it in the bud, so that you don't hit stress. You just sense it coming and you make the requisite adjustments. That's part of life. That's an ongoing thing. So when I sit here and I say I don't get stressed, it's not that there isn't stress. It's that we've developed, you will develop, you are developing that ability to recognize it sooner and sooner so that you're handling it before it even starts. It's like you see that the match fell on the floor and you put the match out before it can even start to ignite something. Because once you're in stress mode, it's harder to pull back, right? Fair? Yeah. So I'm not trying to say that what I want you to understand is this is a coping. It's not an eliminating. Anxiety we can eliminate according to meditation, not according to medical field or your therapists. According to meditation, stress is always going to be a part of your world. It is. But what happens is that as you recognize it, as you learn how to deal with it, you become stronger and stronger and stronger. And so as the stress is pulling in on you, pressing in, you feel strong rather than helpless or scattered or fragmented. It's like you develop an inner core of strength that carries you. And how do you develop that core strength? Just doing every time it comes up, find out what your agenda is, accept what's in the situation, what is yours to do, what is not yours to do. The more and more you do that, the stronger and stronger and stronger you get in the center. Okay. And then the day will come, like when we were launching a website in July, and it was actually fun. What could have been an incredibly bitched out, snapping at people, getting angry at people, situation was just fun. I mean, April and Brenda were part of that launch that morning. And my web designer afterwards just said, she never had so much fun doing something like that before, because we weren't stressing. It was like, oops, oh no, we forgot that. Okay, get in there, do this now. Oh no, that. And you know, things weren't working. Things were going left, right, and center. It's not that it went perfectly at all, but we weren't stressed, so we were able to show up. So with that all said, here's my hope, is that as far as the topic of stress goes, we're complete. Between everything we did with anxiety, between you having gone through the program, listened to the different things, that you've got enough of a grasp of it, right? There's very little new material here, that you have tools. Now I would like you to, let's take this into you practicing leading a meditation. So next week, what I would like is to have you lead a meditation with the one that you're working on. Now, they're long, some of them, because they include the loving kindness blessing and things at the end. And so what I'm going to do is give you permission to shorten them up. and pull out the important part for your part. So what I want to do is go over with you what is a meditation right now. Meditation is the beginning. The beginning is find your seat. That's the beginning. Okay? And then the second thing we do is we begin the process of settling the mind and coming into the present moment. Now, sometimes that's a 10-minute process, but it can also be a 1-minute process. And so what I want you to do, and how do we settle the mind? We give the mind an anchor in the present moment to keep coming back to. And that anchor can be body, breath, or sound, right? So what I'm going to ask you to do is look at your meditation that you've been working with, that you've been outlining, that you've been, you know, doing, practicing, and say to yourself, okay, how can I keep this to around between 8 to 10 minutes max? 8 to 10 minutes max. And so you need to open the meditation, begin us finding our seat, being in the present moment. Do you need to use the words find your seat? Absolutely not. You can say get comfortable in your chair. If you're sitting in a chair, make sure your feet are flat on the floor. You could say find a comfortable position. You don't have to say find your seat. What you want to do is in your words, in your way, doing what you do for you, open us up by bringing us into the present moment. Here is where we are. For the next 8 minutes, we're not going anywhere else. Let's become present, okay? And then, depending on your meditation, sometimes it's good to do pranayama. If it in some way relates to, if you're trying to get us to, you know, accept it is what it is, to just accept something, then maybe we want to do a pranayama to some like 3-part inhale, soften and release with the exhale, to just let go, to just let go. If you're doing something like release your agenda, once again, maybe do like we're doing in our class right now in the group meditations, do that breath to soften and release, where you breathe into the tightness and you expand it and you release. You keep what's soft, you release what's tight. That's kind of related to releasing your agenda, right? So if it feels appropriate, have us do a pranayama. A pranayama is a really quick way to bring people into the present moment, which is why we use it. A lot of places don't do pranayama. They just have you sit and come back again and again into the present, right? Pranayama is a quick. So part of what you get to do is open us the way you open for yourself. Becoming present in the moment. My code word would be find your seat. And then if it's appropriate to have us do a pranayama to either soften the body, relax the body, or that even has some relevance to the technique you're giving us, the meditation leading us in, then have us do a pranayama. But I don't want you to take 5-10 minutes doing pranayama, because what I want to have you do is have us, let us work with releasing your agenda. Let us work with it is what it is, accepting it is what it is. And some of you, this isn't relevant because your meditations are short, but some of you, I know they're longer. And then once we've done the actual meditation, then we close it. And we usually close by in some way sharing the gift, the grace of the meditation. Whether that's with a loving kindness blessing, or whether it's with an Om Shanti Shanti, or whether it's just, may all beings benefit from this practice we did together. Which, do you remember, we talked about the Dead Sea, right? There's only water coming in. You gotta give it out. You share it at the end. So we always, some little way, share the blessing. Now what's going to get a little interesting is what we want to make sure is Kathleen's doing the Find Your Symbol meditation. And the Find Your Symbol meditation goes with the Surrender to Mystery meditation. You can't do Surrender to Mystery the way I did it without having a symbol. Or what does it mean for me to trust that things are unfolding as they should? Am I making sense? Is everybody with me here? Am I? Okay. So what we might want to do is, Kathleen, before those of you who are doing Surrender to Mystery, let's have Kathleen lead us into the Find Your Symbol. Okay. So let's find out how many people are doing, because I can't find my list. So I'm going to ask you now who's doing what, and let's figure out how we're going to do this next week so that you guys can prepare for it. Okay. So Agnieszka, which one are you doing?
Surrender to Mystery.
Oh, just what we said. Okay. And Steve, that's what you're doing too, right?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. And Kathleen has Find Your Symbol. Okay.
I have Find Your Symbol too, Laura.
Oh, you do? Excellent. Okay. Then let's do this. Laura. Okay, so Find Your Symbol, people.
So Karen, I actually do have your original list. Of course I do, right?
Okay.
I have Kathleen as with the mystery one, but maybe she changed.
I thought Kathleen was Find Your Symbol. Kathleen, do I have that wrong?
No, I've got Find Your Symbol. That's what that's what I wrote down too.
Yeah. Okay. They might have started there, but then it was like, oh, Karen, what are you doing?
Yeah, you did. You're
natural.
Yeah.
Okay.
It did start with that one. You're right, Brenda, but she changed it at one point.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So Brenda, what do you have?
Release the agenda.
Okay. That's a good one. Okay. Who else has released your agenda? Oh, Lisa, but you did yours. Dylan, I got it done, suckers. Actually, my sister-in-law, we got her these socks that said, I'm 60, bitches. And so she looks at her son and she goes, when I put my feet up, that means I want a glass of wine. It was just awesome. I'm sorry. I was in a little of that mindset just then. I really don't mean to say that to you. Okay. That was not necessarily. I hope you took it as funny. Okay. So Lisa is a check. Okay. And so Ramon, which one do you have?
Holding center.
Oh, nice one. Okay. And April, which one do you have?
I have It Is What It Is.
Okay, Kelsey?
I also have Surrender to Mystery.
You have it. Also, we have three Surrender to Mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Lisa, what do you have? Or do you feel up to doing this?
Actually, I really need to talk to you later about it, maybe.
Okay. All right. No worries, hon. No worries. All right. So, okay. Let's do this. So next week, we'll start with, I feel horrible doing this, but I don't at the same time. So April, why don't you open it up with It Is What It Is? Okay. And then, Kathleen, Find Your Symbol.
Okay.
And then we'll follow. And then Kelsey, surrender to mystery. How's that? Okay. So it'll be April. It is what it is. Kathleen will help us find our symbol. And then Kelsey will have us surrender to mystery. Okay. And then we're going to come back to Brenda. You're going to do release your agenda. So you'll be number 4. And then Laura, find your symbol. Yes. And then we'll do Steve, surrender to mystery. Okay. Yes. And then we will do Ramon, holding center. Yeah.
I just realized next week is, I know this is like the biggest excuse, but we do a hunting thing with daddy daughter on where we go with Maya's grandfather up to hunting camp, and they bring, and my brother-in-law brings his daughter. It happens to be next week.
So you're not going to be here next week?
Yeah, I'm not going to be here next week.
Are you okay going the next week by yourself?
Yes, I'm okay with that.
Okay. So we'll put you the next week.
Okay.
Not a problem, Ramon. Not a problem. That's, I have so much fun. That's very special. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well then, Agnieszka, would you mind waiting for the next week? Actually? You're muted.
I don't mind, but I don't think we have a class scheduled for next week.
Oh, we don't?
No.
Oh, yeah.
That's right, because you guys get a Sunday off a month up until October. Yeah.
I was thinking, I'm like, oh, I'll have to do this in the hotel next weekend.
And no. You guys probably all planned vacations because for months you known you had tomorrow off. You're right. I mean, next week off. So it isn't next week.
Okay.
So Ramon, you're back on.
Perfect.
Okay. So.
Works. No, okay. I guess that works because I told my wife that to make the hunting because we had a choice on when we can go. And I guess she made it the weekend we were off. So.
Of course. Yes. Yeah. That works. Okay. So then what we're going to do is. Agnieszka, you'll open us up. We'll do a surrender. Wait, no. Ramon will then do a holding center. And Agnieszka, you'll close us out with surrender to mystery.
In next class or?
If we have time to do all of you in the one class, that would be great. If not, we'll break it up between the two groups.
So will that be on the 10th then? Because yes. I was going to talk to you about I am going to be gone on the 10th.
You're going to be gone on the 10th?
Yes. I was going to talk to you about that in our meeting. So, yeah.
So let's do this. All right. Here's what we're going to do. We'll break it up into two different weeks. Okay. So April. Kathleen and Kelsey, you're now going to go on the 17th.
Okay.
And then after you, we'll have Ramon lead us in holding center. Okay? So let me reorder this. Brenda, I hope you're taking good notes.
I am.
Okay.
I'm scribbling, but yes.
So 17th, April will open us up. 17th. Kathleen will surrender us to mystery and 17th Kelsey will, no, Kathleen will find our symbol.
Yeah.
And then on the 17th, Kelsey will have a surrender to mystery and then Ramon will close us out and hold us at center. Okay.
That's on the 17th, right?
On the 17th. And on the 10th, now, Brenda is going to open us up with releasing our agenda. Okay. And then after we release our agenda, then Laura is going to have us find our symbol. And then Steve is going to surrender us to mystery. And then actually, Agnieszka, I'm going to have you hold on. Agnieszka, how do you feel about combining the symbol and making one meditation out of, you know, find your symbol and then do the surrender to mystery and just turn that into one meditation?
I okay. Or I could do it is what it is. I don't, whatever fits better. I mean.
You've got it is what it is?
I mean, no, I have surrendered to mystery, but I can do the other, I mean. Or I can combine the two.
Well, if you would be willing to do it is what it is, then that would be great. We'll have you go on the 10th. We'll have you do it is what it is to open us up. Okay?
Okay.
And then Brenda will do release your agenda. Okay? And then Laura will do find your symbol. And then Steve will surrender to mystery on the 10th. How's that sound? I'm sorry, guys. That's very confusing. But Brenda's going to write it all up for us and send it. Okay. Ramon, why don't you be ready to do holding your center on the 10th, just in case it feels right? Because it might feel right to just have the whole sequence.
That actually works better.
Does it work better? Yeah. Okay. Let's do that.
So what did you just change?
I asked Ramon to be ready on the 10th to do hold your center.
Okay.
And he said that works better. Okay. So here's what I want you to just really hold is memorizing word by word is not going to be you. These are meditations I created for a specific class at a specific point in time, at a specific point in my teaching, right? And it was probably 7 years ago, 8 years ago. What I'm looking for you to do is to make it yours. So a meditation has a beginning. Hi, everybody. Find your seat. Blah, blah, blah. You do what you would do to settle your mind to prepare yourself for this particular meditation, the concept that you're helping, the concept of it is what it is. Surrender, surrender. What is the pranayama? What is the grounding technique that you use that helps you with that concept? And then guide us into the technique in your words. What you want to do is go through and find out what is the key phrase that I use again and again? And try to keep those words. Words are incredibly important in a meditation. So you choose your words carefully. And so there are words that evoke mood, right? If you say, if you're talking about somebody things feeling tight and you use the word strangled, that is a really different connotation than constricted. And so we want to find words that don't have a lot of baggage around them, but can be constrict. That's that's a fairly neutral word. Strangled is a fucking loaded word, right? So as you're going through your meditation, pay attention to the words you're choosing. When you're not using, I mean, there's, it is what it is the word, right? Release your agenda. Surrender to mystery. Those you're not going to fuck with, right? Hold your center. But the words around that, we want it to sound like you. We don't want it to sound like you're doing your, what is the word? Reading something from somebody else. And this is in no way meant to be anything other than we were in yoga with Agnieszka the other week and she was leading us. It was all Agnieszka and you're in her flow. And at the very end, something shifted. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. And I realized, I think you told us later, she'd read something and I could feel the shift because her vibration had us in her hold. She was holding us. We were flowing with her. And just that slight shift in language became, I'm assuming they were Ken's words, right? Yeah. And yes, she was honoring him by bringing him into the meditation. And they were beautiful, but I could tell they weren't her. What I'm looking for is that this meditation is you. So I don't want Steve to sound like Lisa. I don't want Laura to sound like Kelsey. I don't want Brenda to sound like Kathleen. Are you following me? You each have a way. I'm in a class right now and he has four different people doing these meditations so that you can find the voice and the style that works for you. One person is very, you know, she's like clinical. Another person is, another one has, it's the Tibetan teacher who's got kind of an English accent. So he's much more, you know, and it's good. It's good. Be you. Are you with me? Be you. That's what we want. Any questions now? Any questions after that pep talk?
April. I do actually, I'm, cause it is what it is like a 20 minute meditation. So
fucking long.
I know. I was like, what, after I picked it and then I went back and listened to it, I'm like, shit, why did I pick that one?
Yeah.
But
but there's a lot of it is the whole opening breathing part and settling.
Yes. Right? Well, yeah. It is. It's true. Actually, it's like the, you know, almost
love and kindness blessing at the end. I mean, I think you're the one I'm thinking of when I say you can.
Yeah. I think that having that permission is good. I'm going to try to reduce it to 10 minutes, but you know,
that's why I said 8 to 10. You can make it in 10.
Okay. So, cause I know a lot of it, it's a lot of repetition, you know, it's almost like, yeah, you know how some of your meditations, you've got a 10 minute version, then you've got, you know, a 5 minute version, you got a 10 minute, you got a, you know, 20 minute. So I think it can, I guess my point is I want to honor the intention of the meditation and I want to make sure I'm not going to lose that by cutting it so much.
Well, here's this meditation was done for a class of people. We were in person and online, but mostly in person, and they were stressed out.
Mm.
And so you're listening to a meditation that was done while I'm watching people's bodies and I'm having to keep relaxing them because they're not relaxing. And so let's just keep going here, right? Until I could get their bodies relaxed enough to do the meditation. With this group, that's not your problem.
Okay.
This group can relax in one breath, head to toe. Can right. Everybody here relax head to toe in one breath?
Mm-hmm.
Steve, is that a thumbs up from you? Yes. Okay. And Kathleen, I know she can. So head to toe. This group can do that. That's what I was trying to say. This is a specific class to a specific group of people that I got my eyeballs on as I'm doing this meditation.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Got it. Okay. Yeah. That helps a lot, actually.
Yeah. Thank you. Good. Great point. Kelsey.
Your last comment just made me, I have a question for you, which is when you're leading meditations, how much of it are you going through it? And how much of it are you watching the people you're teaching?
I'm in it. I'm in the meditation. But it's a skill you develop. And I know not all of you think you're going to be teachers, right? But still, the ability to remember in the very beginning of the series, I had you talk us through what you were doing. Mm-hmm. Your ability to just be in it and talk as you're doing it. That's the skill. But if you talk it without ever having been in it, it's flat. It's empty. It has nothing. You're better off to be in it and be a little too into it and lose us a little bit than to just try and guide us with words. Mm-hmm. Because your energy is transmitted to us. And so as your body is softening, we're feeling it. It's like you're leading us through a meditation in the physical and in the subtle realm. Because as soon as we're here, we all have Akka cords that are connected to each other right now, right? We're together. So even though you say, okay, so take a deep breath and soften from your crown to your toes, as you're doing that, we're all coming along with you. So will you be able to do it right away? No. But work towards that. And I'd rather we had a few pauses because you just exhaled and you softened your body and you enjoyed it. Then you come back. Then that you were totally on point with every word in the right place kind of thing. Those of you who are at the retreat, you remember when Ramon asked that question, Ramon and Sherry. And I had that whole experience. And then afterwards, Suze goes, how are you talking through that? Mm-hmm. It's because I'm so used to being in my zone and able to communicate at the same time. It's a skill you develop. Good question.
Would this be then, you know, there are times in the meditations, in almost all of them, when you say, you know, and let's take a few more breaths, you know, continuing this for a few more breaths. Would that be the time that you then get into?
Yeah.
Okay. Cause that makes sense to me. Like it's hard for me to talk and breathe at the same time, like doing a 3-part breath. Right?
Yeah. And you can't, I mean, right. I'm doing it, but yeah, it's like you instruct it and then you go do it. Yeah.
Right. And while they're doing it, you're getting a chance to get into that very thing that you just asked them to do. Okay.
Or you inhale, feel the belly, feel the chest up under the collarbones. I just did it. Mm-hmm. Exhale, soften, releasing from your crown, soften a little more to your toes. You know, you'll learn how. I don't expect you to have that right now, but you will learn how to balance that ability to say it. But yoga teachers, it's hard to be doing the poses and talking at the same time, right? Meditation, it's actually easier because we're not exerting all that physical, you know, it's like in yoga, they can demonstrate it. And we can look at the teacher, what they're doing. Meditation, your experience of it, your energy is the equivalent of being able to watch a yoga teacher in a yoga class. You just trust they're getting it on the subtle level. That makes sense. But then you also exaggerate so we can see what you're doing. So Brenda, yeah.
I was just going to put out there that if anybody, not because we have to be perfect for this class, but if anybody wants to practice, I would be a willing listener because I think as I can do any of these at any point during this week, it will be helpful. So if anybody wants to just practice over the phone or jump on a Zoom or whatever, just give a holler and with or without feedback. So.
Brenda, you're so kind and generous this way.
You really it's are. Very self-serving. Because every single one of these that people are practicing would be very helpful as I move through this next week. So.
Oh, that's beautiful. So here's, and how nice to have a live person with you that you can, you know, open your eyes and see how they're responding. Now, first of all, the fact that you even show up to do it is your victory. You can't fuck it up. Okay. Just show up. I know how scary it is to lead a meditation. Okay. I have been a beginner too, right? And it is really scary. Now, Agnieszka knows Pranananda. I did mine in front of Pranananda. That was not fun. You know what I mean? You guys have us. Nobody's gonna judge you. We're gonna be so, we know you well enough to know how hard it's gonna be. And we will be able to hear the nerves in your voice. And we're gonna hear them. And when we hear them, you know, we're not gonna be sending anything other than, oh, you're doing a good job, Ramon. It's okay. It's okay. April. Oh, April. We're so glad you're here. You're doing a good job. You know, it's like, that's what we're going to be sending out to you. We're here to be your support. We understand. Okay. And so that's number one is I'm just looking for you to show up. And if you can have a few moments of just, and notice I just said a few, like one or two, where I can see that you're actually in the meditation. And even for a heartbeat, as you're trying to lead us, I will feel that that's beautiful. Okay.
I appreciate, Brenda, your offer because it actually really helps. Last night, I was really afraid I was going to have to do it today. A little stress moment. And so I asked my husband if I could practice on him last night. And he was like, yeah, sure, great. So I did. And at first, I thought I was going to be really nervous just even in front of him. And it's like the least, you know, intimidating person ever. And I found partway through it, I noticed myself feeling so relaxed and I was reading it, right? I mean, but I was like, my voice shifted the more I relaxed and I enjoyed it. Actually, I enjoyed that part, noticing that I could say it out loud without feeling nervous. And so even to be able to practice it with somebody that you feel really safe with is, I think, a really great opportunity. So just putting that out there.
Yeah, you're welcome. I didn't have you do them today. So to what April said, really, if you can practice it on somebody, not April has Jeremy. Jeremy's kind of unique. I couldn't practice with Bill. He was not going to be the person. I did it with my mom because my mom just loves everything. You know, I did. So choose carefully who you're going to practice with. Be practice with another person. But even if you don't practice with another person, maybe you could record it into your phone or just open your Zoom and record yourself on your Zoom. It is good to have some way of just kind of hearing yourself afterwards. Doing it a few times. It does help us get a little more comfortable. And can I give you one more really important suggestion? Anything you ever, and you may not think you're going to teach, but you know, it's like Bella could have a moment and Laura, you're right there with Bella, right? It's like the people in your world, you going at it from a point of, can I share with you something that's really kind of cool that I love that makes a difference for me? I'm sharing something with you. It's not I'm leading you. It's not I'm showing you. It's not I'm teaching you. It's, ooh, it's like you want to share a good pizza with somebody, you know, and you both want to sit there and go, yum. It's like you want to just share that with them. It's like you're making them a good cup of coffee. Hold that intention as you go into it. And we'll go into this later. Never mind. We'll do that another time. I think that's enough for this time. Okay. Any other questions or thoughts? Brenda.
This is very random, but it's because people keep asking. So anybody that I choose to share that I'm in meditation teacher training, say, oh, what style or what will you be certified in? And I have no idea how to answer that, to try to explain. So do we have a style?
No, that's my problem. We are meditation. We are from the different traditions. We've taken meditation, and it's meditation without, it's not Buddhism. It's mm-hmm. not the Vedic yoga. This is meditation. Meditation to be used in your daily life. Put it that way. Yeah. Meditation you can use in your daily life. Maybe that's it. I'm going to write that down. Okay, you people, my Facebook media team. Meditation you can use in your daily life. That, and if they want more, you say, yes, it's got mindfulness, Buddhism, mm-hmm. yoga, it's contemplative traditions, but it's meditation you can use in your everyday life, in your daily life. Because that's the truth. You know Kriya techniques, you know Buddhist techniques, you know mystical techniques, you got a lot.
Yeah, the answer I've sort of been giving is, she kind of pulls from a lot of different traditions,
yes.
and blends them all together, you know? Yeah. And so that's kind of what I've been answering, but it's interesting how in this society, people want to know your letters or your credentials or what is it going to be? You know, it's like, it's hard to explain.
Yeah, it really is. And I've just had to accept that because mm-hmm. I'm not going to teach Buddhism. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to just teach Kriya Yoga because Kriya Yoga I needed more than just Kriya. And, I'm not going to just teach mindfulness because mindfulness is great, but there's a lot of mystical layers and levels of things that you guys have learned that we do that are important. And the last thing I want to do is impinge on somebody's belief system. It's like you figure out your own. You know, I mean, I don't even know that I believe, I've said this before, everything I use, I just know I use it and it works. Do I really, really believe? Well, I was going to say that we choose our parents. I was going, yeah, probably I do believe we choose our parents because I do have a memory of choosing my parents. But do I really, really believe that, you know, I don't know, some of the teachings on reincarnation and karma, I don't know, but they sure as hell work. They work to keep me out of judgment, you know? So thank you for that question, Brenda. And we're refining it, but you have a breadth of education here that most programs, it's one thing. Mm-hmm. So with that, then if there's no other questions, can we do a blessing for Alice, Brenda's mom, and for Brenda? Because this is. How are you doing, Brenda?
Doing okay, actually.
Yeah.
Dear sweet April is going to come with me this afternoon because I have to pack up her room at her care home. So that will probably be a little bit challenging.
Yeah.
But overall, it's been an odd place of relief. And even just listening and thinking about, okay, I'm, you know, doing something on the 10th. I've had all week, I mean, all weekend, I've had this, like when I've been with my kids, I just get to do my kids. My mind is not worrying about this whole other being and experience. So it's going to take a little bit to settle into that, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's been, many of you don't know me for that long, but I've been caring for my parents since I moved back here in 2012. So it's been a long journey. So.
And was it 2 years ago your dad passed or three now?
Three, almost three.
And it wasn't long after he passed. And that was a lot of time leading up to that.
Right.
That your mom, well, it's been ongoing. So this is, it's like almost, it's like, I'm sorry, I just popped in on that one little group with Steve and I heard him say that with everything going on, it's just a habit to feel like you need to feel stress and anxiety over these things because it's a habit. And so you had 9 years of parent. Yeah. So yeah, it'll take some time. And quiz, Brenda, what is the thought you hold when you think of your mom?
Probably just a great sense of compassion for that she always did the best she could with what she had.
Wow. Beautiful. That's all the work, all the forgiveness work, all of the work can take us to, because it was not a harmonious relationship. And the fact that Brenda can say that today is because of all the work. And so the feeling, the other thing you can hold in your thoughts, and when somebody passes, you just think of them, and if you can send them that kind of compassionate love, you just send them again, remember your past good deeds. You just, and that phrase, remember your past good deeds, is literally lifting them. It's sending them the positive, the uplifting, so that they can, because, you know, depending on the different traditions, there's time spent in this in between place, right? And during that time, there's, you know, every thought you can send that's positive. And so that's what we're going to do right now for Alice. I'm not going to go through the whole blessing for the departed because we'll be covering that a little bit later. But so let's find our seats. Alice, Brenda, what was her full name?
Alice Marie Olson.
Marie? Okay. Mm-hmm. Alice Marie. All right, so let's finding our seats, grounding ourselves right here, right now. Bringing our attention to the breath. And allowing ourselves to slip into that ease and comfort of the natural rhythm of our breath. And then following that breath, that inhale into that heart center, feeling it sparking, igniting, opening the heart. Let's begin by first holding a thought for Alice Marie Olson. And when we don't have an actual picture or know the person, just holding their name, holding their full name, if you have it. And we just say, in your own heart, Alice Marie Olson, remember your past good deeds. And just sense a blessing, an uplifting blessing rising from your heart into the ethers to that she can float on and rise on as she goes through this transition. We'll say it again. Alice Marie Olson, remember your past good deeds. And let's do it one more time. Alice Marie Olson, remember your past good deeds. And just lift, 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 lift. And then in your own way, it's, I don't know how quite to describe this, but it's like you leave her there floating, lifting on this energy from all of us. It's continuing. It's continuing. And we just, we just let her float. We just keep that energy floating. Even as we come back to ourselves. It's like we've sent a bubble up. And now we come back into our heart centers and we know that Alice is floating on this bubble of grace that we've sent her way. And our hearts now open to unfold Brenda. And as we enfold her with the blessings and the grace, the compassion of our hearts, let's just whisper and send Brenda. May you be at ease. May you feel safe and protected. May you be happy. May you feel loving kindness. May you be filled with loving kindness. And may you be held in loving kindness that you may be at peace. And then in your own way, just send her a good job, Brenda. Good job. Well done. Well done. Well done. And I will wrap us up by simply saying, Brenda, the karma is complete. The karma is complete. Well done, Brenda. Well done. And now let's close with an Om Shanti mantra. Inhale. Om Shanti. Shanti, Shanti. If you want to unmute, we can say this last part together. May we be blessed. May we be blessed. And may we be triply blessed, that we may be an even greater blessing to others. Namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste, beautiful ones. So you've got Thank you, actually. That was a beautiful blessing. Beautiful blessing. And you've got your work for the next couple of weeks, right? Just practice those meditations. Practice, practice, practice. If you can, continue with the forgiveness ritual. Continue with the forgiveness ritual. All right. All right, loves. I'll see you each this week. Okay. Ramon, was there something else?
Nope.
Okay. All right. I'll see you this week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone. Bye.